Welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will, and this is the internet's most spiteful music podcast. On the show this week, I'm joined by James.
Hello.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this episode, we're going to be reviewing the new album from Dancer. We've got the upcoming releases you need to know about, but first, the news. James, what have you got for us this week?
This week, I'm reporting on a report from a Swedish newspaper. The name of the newspaper I can't pronounce, but it translates to the news of the day. And it's been kindly translated by Music Business Worldwide. And basically, it's on this secret composer, which has been not exposed, but I don't know, revealed, that's the word. But this is more on the theme of fake artists on Spotify. Now, we've talked about like fake songs and just like white noise on Spotify. This is not that. This is about composers and artists which go by like fake names and go by many names, and they're not in the public eye. They just like churn out a lot of music for Spotify and then other streaming platforms. So yeah, this is not a new thing. This has been around for years. You'll see these, you'll see these artists on many playlists, random playlists, maybe generated by Spotify, but you won't recognize these artists. They just have very regular names. So yesterday, the Swedish newspaper identified one of the biggest of these artists, and he's called Johan Rahl. He's previously worked on choir stuff, and he's conducted on several artists' music and tours and TV productions. So yeah, he's done a lot of conductory work and composition already. But he has positioned himself in the streaming world basically under many aliases. Yeah, so he's composed many instrumental tracks, and you can imagine what kind of playlists they're on. So like Spotify mood playlists, relax playlist, all of that. But in total, he has took on 50 aliases on Spotify and invented 656 artist names. So when I say aliases, I mean composer aliases, and then the artist names is 600, the number is 656. He has produced or uploaded 2,700 songs at least to Spotify, and all of his tracks together add up to 15 billion streams. So yeah, Avicii, who's a good comparison here because Sweden, has more streams overall on the platform, but Johan Rahl has more listens per month. That's compared to Avicii, so that's pretty insane. And he adds up to he's within the 100 most streamed artists on Spotify. So obviously it doesn't really work like that, because he's like split up into several artists and several aliases. But if you add it all together, he's in the top 100. So yeah, this is more of a story about there are composers out there who get streamed many times, but they just don't get recognized because they're split up into different names. And I think this kind of links into things before streaming as well, where you'd have these, it still happens, these composers who will compose like pop songs and just many other types of music, but they don't get credited. The actual artist gets credited, whereas the song has been composed by someone else. But yeah, some people want, and I guess that's why they go behind these names. But yeah, well done Johan Rahl for being very popular without us knowing.
Yeah, I've been searching up on Spotify a few of his different aliases, and the playbook seems to be like a single or a very short, like 3-track EP for each alias, like once a year for a few years, and then he seems to just like give up on them. And all of the if you look at some of the albums for it, they're all like for each alias, they all have a very particular theme. So if you go on the artist page, it looks like, oh, okay, that it's all cohesive and it makes sense. And there doesn't seem to be like a clear link between them. But yeah, some of them appear to be, I haven't listened to any of it, but seem to be like covers of like nursery rhymes and stuff like that.
Oh.
Presumably made to fit Spotify playlists. But yeah, like some of the stream numbers, like I'm on one of them, Itsy Bitsy Spider, 109 million streams.
Oh my God. You just know that there are kind of so many parents who've just put that on in the hopes that it'll get their kid to calm down for a hot second. It really feels like this guy's like hacked the system.
I mean, he's playing the system well.
Yeah.
I mean, evidently, if he's making more money than Avicii's discography is.
That's wild. Like, as a point of comparison, that's insane.
Mm.
But yeah, I guess it just speaks to how most people seem to be using these kinds of services, right? That they want to throw on a playlist and they'll just listen to whatever it spits out and they don't think about it too much. And if that's going to be a chill playlist where it's all like presumably relatively low effort covers of random stuff made to just kind of sound vaguely like this mood or what you might expect or to fit in some kind of genre theme. And yeah, I guess there are going to be people who say, well, I could do something creative and like unique and that represents me, or I could make way more money doing this. Which, you know, I don't think it's tremendously new that you can make a lot of money doing something that's creatively less interesting than more creative stuff. But I don't know, it still makes me sad to see it. Right, let's get on to our review for this week. We're looking at 10 Songs I Hate About You by Dancer. It's the Glasgow band's debut album, released on the 15th of March 2024 on Meritorio Records, who are apparently an indie label from Madrid in Spain, which I don't know how this band from Scotland got hooked up with that label, but I guess it's worked out. The album's 10 tracks long and 32 minutes. On the Bandcamp page for the album, it says, quote, the 10 songs in question push, pull, and then elaborate on former characteristics. Only now they are skewered into greater pop forms, caressed by jittery rhythms and searing guitarisms that dive into passages of melodic wool and warmth, all with an energy that even the band themselves are surprised to muster. Sometimes we come out of the Bandcamp description, we're like, yeah, that's a good description of what this album is, and this one, I have no idea what that's trying to get across. Right, what did we think of the album for hopefully some more sensible points? Elle, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I have no idea where that Bandcamp description is going. I like the phrase melodic wool and warmth, but I have no idea what it means. And I kind of feel like that's how I feel about the album. Like, a lot of it, I was like, this is so weird, but I really enjoyed it. It just feels intrinsically creative and fun, and it's not taking itself too seriously. And because of that, it's a real joy to listen to. You're just having a good time with it. It's got, what do they call it? Jittery rhythms and searing guitarisms. It's got great guitars, I'll say that. It's got great rhythms. I don't know what, you know, their adjective choice is with that. But it's really good fun. It's got, you know, these kind of indie elements. It's got some pop elements. It's slightly absurd. Something I also really liked is that each song is introduced by the vocalist who, I don't know the name of, saying the title of the song, which was kind of like a, I don't know, it's not something that I've necessarily heard before, certainly not across like a whole album. And it was useful when listening to the album because I was like, oh, I know which song, I definitely know which song I'm listening to right now. When I was like making notes or whatever, I was like, I know exactly which one this is because they've told me. It did feel like a little bit jarring at times, but I still think it worked with the whole record, because it feels then almost like you're in the studio with them and they're going, right, we're going to record this one now. And that kind of ties into the whole creative thing where it just feels like a really fun project. And I end up really liking that. I also really liked the vocal delivery. It's a bit kind of spoken wordy, which I think also plays into like some of the lyrics are just like, I don't know what they're going on about. We'll get into like some specifics when we break down the songs, but they're just bizarre. But I was having such a good time for it. I was like, that's so weird. And because it kind of combined with that slightly spoken word style, it's just really fun. And I enjoyed that a lot. There's also, again, it goes into that creative bit. There's like textured bits of the album that just feel like they've gone, oh, that sounds really good. We'll kind of build something with that. Or they've kind of left things in that just make it feel, like it's a really kind of, it's not super polished. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I mean that as like that, I feel like, is the intent. It's meant to be fun and creative and a bit like strange. and because of that, it's just a really fun listen and almost like a nice palette cleanser. I feel like I've been listening to a lot of kind of, I was going to say heavier. I don't mean heavy as in like heavy metal. I mean like emotionally heavy albums recently. And this was a really nice palette cleanser from that, where it was just like, oh God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm having a good time.
James, what did you think?
Yeah, this album really feels like a band having fun, a band just composing what they want to, recording what they want to, making what they want to. Like you said, Elle, it's definitely fun. It's definitely creative, and it's definitely what they want to be doing. Yeah, I've really enjoyed this album this week. It just, it comes from the soul, and like it's not too heavy. It's just like, it's pleasing to the ears. Yeah, the way that the song was introduced each track, I think it was a bit cheesy and possibly a bit cheap, but I kind of liked it. I felt like I shouldn't have liked it, but I kind of liked it. I guess it is a throwback isn't the wrong word, but it's kind of like a cool to like them playing live, and this song is this, and they play the song. I think it would be fun to listen to this music live. I think that kind of brings me on to the negative thing about this album for me, and that's the mix. I think the vocals are sometimes a bit like hidden, a bit like muddled into the mix. You can't really hear them sometimes, basically. I feel like sometimes it sounds like the guitarist has mixed the track, especially on the last track, where it's just like the guitar is the only thing you really hear, and the vocals are an afterthought, because I think the vocals are something you should be listening to. Like, there weren't any like lyrics for me to follow this week. There are lyrics to listen to, but sometimes I miss them and I can't look them up because there's nowhere online I could find where the lyrics were. So yeah, it's just like, I really wanted to listen carefully to the lyrics, but sometimes they were just kind of, outdone by the guitar and the bass, really. But I think the tracks were still really fun, and I think they really did what they wanted to, but they still had a lot of potential, and I think the band has a lot of potential, and I'm looking forward to what they have in the future. If they mix the album a little bit differently, maybe that'll improve it. Maybe it won't improve it. Maybe this is what they're all about. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it. But I've really enjoyed this album this week. So, yeah.
I wasn't going to mention the introing the songs because I thought it was like such like a throwaway thing. But personally, I just didn't like it. I felt like it felt like a bit like too cheesy. And for it to happen like every time as well, like I get that. I mean, they've done this on their previous EPs too. I guess it's like their thing, but it just didn't work for me. But you know, it's so minor, it happens and then it's over. this record for me really felt like a band just figuring themselves out. There's a lot of experimentation in kind of different paths, and I think in places it was kind of hit and miss. So some of it I thought worked really, really well. Some of it I thought was kind of interesting, but maybe kind of had elements that I wasn't really jiving with. The general sound of the album, I would just say, is very indie. Like, it sounds like it sounds like they could plug straight into the venue's deluxe reverb, and that's kind of their sound, really. Like, they've very much got that kind of a band that you will see, like, just randomly in a room at a small indie festival kind of sound, which I think, you know, it works well here. I think the big thing for me, and kind of like you, James, I think that this shows promise for the future, but it's not really stuck with me much after listening to it, like the few times I have. And I think it's because I think the things I really liked about it are where they experiment in kind of different directions, but it's not kind of coming together as like a whole project that's really exciting for me. It's like, this direction could be really interesting, or kind of this route could be really interesting, but less that the album like really kind of really excited me as a whole thing. So it's one of those things, like, maybe I'll come back to it a few times over the course of the year, but I kind of don't expect it to be one that I'm going to really like return to lots over the coming year. But I think if they come out with more stuff, I'm definitely going to check out their next record. Just to dive into the bits that I think do work well, I really like the track Rain It In, which had a bit of like a CSS feel to it. Like, it's a bit dance punky with a bit more of a driving beat and kind of the woozy synths. I really liked that kind of tone to their sound, and it felt a bit more kind of driven and urgent than some of the tracks that preceded it.
Yeah, I think with Rain In, what I really enjoyed was that sense of urgency that you get. I also felt, particularly when I listened to it with headphones, the percussion is like really close. It feels like very close, and that just kind of drove that urgency in a way that I was like, oh, okay, this is really kind of set the pace, set the tempo. And I think I enjoyed that across the album, that you got what feel like deliberate choices on each track. Then going, oh yeah, we'll try this out, even if it doesn't necessarily kind of work super cohesively as like a full album. I think they've gone, oh, we'll experiment with this, and then they go for it. I think it allows it to be a little bit less cohesive, because you're like, oh well, at least they're, you know, having a bit of fun. And I think that's what I enjoyed about it, is that they're so unabashedly having a good time that you kind of can't help but have a good time yourself with it, which I think just overall like left me with like a positive listening experience, because I was like, well, it was fun, even if it didn't necessarily make sense or it wasn't like the kind of most like precisely crafted album. I was like, you know, I'm having a good time, and that's always a nice thing to have.
You mentioned the percussion there. I mean, to kind of contrast it, I think Troy, generally I liked the song, but it has this very kind of unique sound in the album, which I think is kind of something you're talking about really liking, is how each of the songs kind of had this different thing. But for me, it kind of stood out, and it felt like them trying something different, which I liked. But also, I don't know that it like fully worked. I think that that's kind of one of those things where if that had have been what they wanted to do out of this album, they could have made a sound that would have like made that all make sense. But because it's just this one song, I don't think it was like they weren't like fully committed to it. Maybe that's me like trying to read into like their headspace and how they were writing it. But you know, it's this like toyish tom drum sound, which is a bit odd, and then they do mix like this like interesting bass tone with it underneath that makes it feel more cohesive. But then it just doesn't quite sit right. I think, James, to go back to what you were saying about the mix, the toms are just too loud and present when they should be sat back a bit, and it's kind of overtaking the other elements. And I think once the song starts to get going, it's like, okay, I can kind of sit back into this. But because it's just this one track, I'm not in that headspace for this song, you know, because it kind of comes and goes, and then we're on to something else again.
Yeah, for Troy, I did like how it started with the synth, but then as it went, I felt like the guitars started to overwhelm other things, especially the vocals, and then they just kind of started sounding a bit messy. And like you're saying, Will, like it is kind of a style, but it wasn't a style that was really working in this context. I think the verses were fun, but I think this would be a great track with just a few changes, maybe a few changes to the guitar and the bass and possibly the drums as well. Yeah, I think it has potential, but it just didn't quite work in the context.
I do agree that some of the mixes do sound kind of messy. And I do also agree that sometimes I'm like, oh, actually, that's just a bit frustrating, because you feel like, yeah, like you said, with a couple of tweaks, it would be really good. But there are other moments where I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, but works. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, there are some kind of textual bits that I really enjoyed. Like there's on the final track that like a cough is left in, and I really enjoyed that. I don't know why, it just kind of worked, the kind of slightly messy creative, as though you're either listening to it live and it's not a full concert, it's them just like, I don't know, in someone's garage jamming, or it's like them in the studio doing like a test run or whatever. And I enjoyed that because it felt intimate without being, I don't know, like weirdly drawn in on a kind of emotional level. It was more like, oh, we're just having fun with music. I also really liked it on the track When I Was a Teenage Horse, which I just loved as a track because it's so, so bizarre that I just ended up really enjoying it. But it has, there's a horse neighing, and I was like, what? Which is really fun. And again, this is where I think the vocal delivery works so well, because it's kind of almost like this deadpan thing of, I was roaming free when I was a teenage horse. And which is just objectively a bizarre sentence. And because it's delivered in that way, you're like, what? But it works so well because it feels, deadpan, and it's like tongue in cheek. And, you know, like they're not trying to, I don't know, maybe there is like some super deep meaning when they talk about like the metamorphosis and, you know, she was rejected from the equine world. Maybe there's some metaphor there that I just haven't like fully realized. But I was just like, oh, this sounds so weird that it's got to just be weird. And I enjoyed that. I was like, oh, they're not trying to, you know, change the world with their lyrics. They're just like, yeah, so I was a teenage horse and, you know, here's a horse neighing. And I just thought it really worked because I just had such a great time listening to it.
I really agree on Passionate Sunday. I think I really like the kind of pitch bending guitar sound that they have going on in it. Like it's like a weird and unique tone to have. But what I really like about it is that it works underneath the vocals as well. Like all of the parts seem to actually properly fit together on that song. And that's what I'd really hope to kind of see from them in the future, is more songs where those kind of weird out there elements also work with the rest of it really closely. It feels like it's all additive rather than things kind of clashing a bit, which I felt like on a few of the other songs like we were talking about with Troy. I'm going to disagree on When I Was a Teenage Horse, though. I really didn't enjoy this one. I just felt like the spoken word vocals, like there wasn't, it wasn't playing like a track like Pigs in there, which is, again, doing the spoken word stuff, again, about animals. But that song is just like, here is a random story that I'm going to tell you, and this is something that happened, and this is like a genuine experience, and I feel like there's something in that. Whereas these ones, I don't know, it felt like partly that there was kind of no resolution or kind of point to any of it for me. Like, maybe it's there in the sung vocals, which I couldn't really make out. And like James said, there aren't lyrics online, so you can't look it up. But it was like, what's kind of the point of this? And then in like just the parts themselves, it just felt like kind of vamping. It's just like, it's not absurd enough to make me think, oh, wow, this is random. Because it's just like, it's a bit plain to make me have that reaction. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to go for that kind of shock and awe, it needs to be like properly weird and off the wall. And it just didn't go far enough to do that for me. And then it didn't do the kind of metaphor of doing, like, trying to say something interesting either. So it just felt like, I don't know, it felt like kind of amateur drama for me in a bad way. that this the one song on the album that I just couldn't get on with. And in subsequent lessons, I kind of had to skip through a bit because I just didn't enjoy it.
Well, I'm going to disagree again, kind of with both of you, sort of. Passionate Sunday, for me, it didn't work. I think the whammy on the guitar was just a bit too much for me over those vocals. I don't think they really went well together. I also think that could be like a headphone thing as well, like, or whatever you're listening to. But for me, the guitar was just too much. And it didn't really have a resolution for me as well, which I could say for a lot of the other tracks as well. It just didn't resolve in the right way for me. Teenage Horse. I really enjoyed the spoken word. I do feel like they could have gone somewhere else with it rather than talking about Teenage Horse, but the shock factor on the first listen did do it for me, but like subsequent listens, maybe not so, because it's not as much of a shock. It doesn't add on to the experience. But I think the first time, yeah, it was interesting. Like, you expect, maybe this is what you don't like about it, Will, but you expect something else to come out of it rather than just her explaining about how she was a horse. But no, that is what you get. Yeah, I enjoy the storytelling and what that can be done, but maybe the story could be a bit different.
It is followed up by one of my favourite songs on the album, Make a Decision, which I think introduces, like, I mean, I think it's probably going to be quite obvious why I'm going to enjoy it, is that it kind of introduces some kind of emo math rock type stuff, where the rhythm guitar that comes in, it sounds like they're trying to approximate emo, but it's like a bit too like harsh and crispy and like the top end of the distortion, but it ends up being quite like an interesting different tone. And then initially I was like, oh, nice emo stuff. And then later on they do like the little like lead riffs that really make it feel like they're trying to channel some like Midwest type stuff, which I thought was a fun direction to go in. And I felt like this was one where they reined in some of the weirdness and just kind of let the song sit a bit more rather than having other things going on to distract you. And I thought that worked well for them.
I think we're disagreeing a lot in this album. I thought this track was catchy for sure. And I enjoyed the little harmonic-y guitar twiddly bits as well. I mean, in general, I enjoyed the song. I felt like, just, how do I say this? Like, the stabbiness of it. It didn't have as much expression as I wanted it to. It didn't lead into a different expression, into a different mode, you know. And yeah, it was just kind of stabby.
I liked this one a lot. I think I also liked, I liked this, the stabbiness, which now you've said, I don't know how else to describe it, but I think that captures it. But I also liked how, I do think it kind of grows into something a little bit different by the end of the track, and there's this kind of lingering thing, particularly with the kind of the last lyrics and the repetition, which I liked, and it kind of almost felt like a slightly more, I guess, conventional song format in terms of the way it's structured. I think particularly following, you know, something like When I Was a Teenage Horse, which is so weird that it's, I don't know, I liked the pairing of them together. I felt that that kind of worked well on the album. But it, yeah, I think that, what I've just said, I do like the pairing. I also don't. Basically, I liked the pairing because I was like, oh, that is kind of interesting and there's like a change. But I think in the context of the whole album, that was part of, you know, what I was saying in terms of like, there's not necessarily like a cohesion throughout the record in that it's like a bit strange and bitty. And I do think, I think it's kind of evident by the fact that we've been disagreeing a fair amount, is that I think it is going to be so dependent on, firstly, just kind of what your preferences are, but also what kind of mood you're in as to whether you're going to be enjoying what this album is putting out. Even just like we were saying at the beginning, the speaking of the song titles at the start of each track. Yeah, there were some times when I was listening to the album where I was like, oh, I really enjoy that, actually, it's just a bit of fun. And then there were some times where I was like, oh, I'm actually a bit annoyed by it. And I think this album is, it's not fully Marmite. I don't think it's a love it or hate it thing, but I think it will, your reaction will vary depending on the context in which you're listening to it. And I think if you're in the right mood, then it's going to be really good fun. If you're perhaps not in the best of moods, then I can see how bits of it you might be like, oh, actually, that's just a bit jarring. It's not my favourite.
Right, should we wrap up the review by ranking the album then? Currently, the album rankings stand as a number 10, Sprints with Letter to Self, number 9, Glass Beaches, Plastic Death, a number 8, Third Wind by Golfer, number 7, Office Dog with Spiel, number 6 is Vacations with No Place Like Home, number 5, Playing Favourites by Sheer Mag, number 4, Omni with Souvenir, number 3, Helado Negro's Phasor, number 2, MGMT with Loss of Life, and a number 1, Katie Kirby with Blue Raspberry. Where do we want to put 10 Songs I Hate About You by Dancer? Personally, I'm thinking number 10, just below Glass Beach. I think it's a decent album, and I think it's an interesting place for them to start off as a band, but just assessed as a kind of project as a whole, it's a bit all over the place in terms of what it's trying to do. I think it works well in some places, and then, like I said at the beginning, in other places I feel like it doesn't work so well. But it doesn't, to me, feel like a kind of cohesive forward vision. It feels like them figuring themselves out, which is an interesting place to see a band, but I think it'll be more interesting once we've seen where they end up later on, actually, to come back to this and kind of see it again. But at the moment, it's an album I enjoyed listening to this week, but not one that I really feel like coming back to all that much.
I think I would place it similarly, but probably slightly higher, so maybe at 8 or 9, just because I think I had a really good time listening to this, so I had a lot of fun with it. I agree that it's not, particularly when kind of looking at the other albums that we've listened to this year, there's, I think, more to unpick that I enjoyed thinking about analysing, particularly like lyrically, with a lot of the other albums we've listened to, or they just do feel more cohesive. And as much as I have liked, you know, this kind of bittiness, I am a sucker for a good narrative across an album. So I think like personal preference is going to push me one way on this. So I don't know. I think also my ranking of this would vary so much depending on what mood I was in and also how recently I'd listened to any of the other albums. But for example, like I was listening to Vacations this morning because it was grey outside and I wanted it to feel sunny. And I think that's, you know, going to sway like where I'd rank it. So I think, would I put it above Golfer? No, I think I'd put it at 9.
Personally, I've been listening to Golfer more and I feel like on my terms, I enjoy it more where I'm kind of just picking out songs that I like and enjoying those. And I think it's one of those albums where eventually I'll kind of get bored of those, well, not get bored of them, but kind of move on and enjoy the other ones more than I did when I like sat down and listened to the whole album originally. So I think it's one that is kind of growing on me when I'm not in the mode of this, the album I have to listen to this week.
Yeah, I was like you, Al, I was seesawing between 8 and 9. But I think I might pull it above Golfer. But like the thing you just mentioned there, Will, yeah, I feel like Golfer may be the, like the one that outshines this album later on. But for now, I'll pull it at number 8. So the average is a nice 9.
We go. Dancer's 10 Songs I Hate About You goes in at number 9. Right, upcoming releases this week. What's coming out that you should check out? First up, Chastity Belt are releasing a new album called Live, Laugh, Love. And it has a great album art if you fancy checking it out. It's looks very summery and fun. Next up, Ride are releasing a new album called Interplay, long-running indie band. So this could be an interesting one. Shabazz Palaces are releasing a new EP. It's called Exotic Birds of Prey. So if you want more of a hip-hop record, that might be one to listen to. And finally, The High Llamas are releasing an album called Hey Panda. That's it for upcoming releases, and that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Yes.
Thank you.
If you like the show, new episodes come out every Monday, but if you're likely to forget, you can subscribe on your podcast service of choice and consider turning on notifications to get reminders. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at amusedunmastered@gmail.com. I can now announce that the album for next week is A Coma by Jalen.